Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard on a Tuesday. What is it? Let me catch my thought here. Maybe it's I watched Monday Night Raw last night, so it's got to be Tuesday today. Lenny Melnick sitting right here in the cave, ready to rock and roll. And let's get right to it. We've got a lot to talk about. First of all, I'm listening to my boys over at Sirius on the morning show with Scott and Nando and Greg Sussman, and I can't believe that they're echoing the thoughts of many people in fantasy baseball, including some of the experts. And they're down on Byron Buxton, saying that Byron Buxton may be a bust, saying that I don't expect a lot from him. Now, maybe this year, I agree, you may not expect a lot, but Byron Buxton, I mean, one of the fellas said that I feel like I've been drafting him for 6 years. And maybe you have, but he was 16 then, if that was the case. Byron Buxton is 22 years old, and to think that you could be down on Byron Buxton or any player at age 22 is just not—it's just not right. It's not right. I mean, look, he may not be the super. You know how I am. A rookie is a rookie is a rookie. For this year, I'm not very high on any rookie, but I think we're all spoiled. We're all spoiled when we think about how successful a lot of the rookies have been in their first year. Don't forget, Mike Trout wasn't that good in his first year. But we're all spoiled with how successful the rookies have been in their first year. And because it's taken Byron Buxton to age 22, and maybe this will be his year, give me a freaking break. I mean, you can't be down on Byron Buxton. You can be smart. You could be saying, well, yeah, first year, rookie year, you'll probably overpay for him. But to say now that you're down on Buxton, he may not be what he was expected to be. He will probably be everything he was expected to be. Maybe not this year, but at age 22, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. That's my first rant of the day. My second one is, I like to consider myself a team player. So, as a result, I'm not knocking on my team, the morning guys, but I am just giving them some constructive banter. But Ian Desmond is sitting out there after rejecting a $107 million extension, and it's bad. It's now, if you remember in 2014, Kendrys Morales and Stephen Drew both had to wait until May, I think, to get that pick off the board. You know, the qualifying offer is made. If you reject it, now it's a compensation pick. That compensation pick comes off the table, I believe, in May, and that's when Morales and Drew both signed, if I'm not mistaken. That could be the same thing for Ian Desmond. Now, if I was a team player and I'm the Chicago White Sox, just sitting on the verge of having a really good team, and Ian Desmond at shortstop would certainly help, and Dexter Fowler in the outfield would certainly help, I would go to Ian Desmond and say, listen, you don't belong here on the sidelines. You belong on a team. We want you on our team. Make him a nice offer so that he can at least hold his head up and come in and have a great year. And to me, the qualifying offer will be either fixed or whatever, or lead to the next strike. I agree with David on that one. But here's the deal. Come on, be a team. Say, look, we want you, Ian Desmond. Get off the outside looking in and come join us right away and start playing some baseball and help us win a title. That, to me, is the way it should be. Instead, you get the feeling that the White Sox are just sitting around making this guy squirm, taking every ounce of blood out of him. I really believe they will sign him, but I think they're just trying to squeeze him. Otherwise, why wouldn't they sign him now? Why? No reason. Either that or they're not going to sign him at all. But if they wind up signing him, after he might as well play for free. Okay? Playing for free. How could you feel better for someone who's going to sign a $1 million contract? Okay. Anyway, that's the Ian Desmond thing. That's the Byron Buxton thing. And now let's talk about the Tyler Clipper thing. Now, I can't believe Tyler Clipper got $12 million for 2 years. I mean, he's good. And I wish the Mets had him. I really think the Mets need him. No question about it. But for crying out loud, $6 million a year, okay. Fly ball pitcher pitching in Arizona, you know, we all know about that one. The Arizona team had the most relief pitcher innings last year, 579. So this guy could be worked pretty hard. And what happens to Clippard, when he loses his fastball a little bit, he gets rocked. He gets rocked. And he could be a disaster in the second half. So monitor his usage. When he only fits, only pitches a couple of innings as a closer, when he comes in, gets one out, that kind of stuff. But if they use Tyler Clippard and he starts to tire, as his history shows, Tyler Clippard could be in for a big-time second half. So I would absolutely monitor that situation very carefully, all right? So, and I'm still thinking that Daniel Hudson could wind up doing some damage in that Arizona bullpen. So Arizona got a 3.56 ERA in the bullpen last year, 579 innings. A lot of people, and I think Ziegler is still the closer there, but I think that'll change. I think they'll see that Ziegler can throw more innings than Clippard can, okay? So Mark Hammond says the White Sox don't pay. All right, there you go. So that's the answer. But they should be a team. Now, a lot of people have asked me who the closer in Atlanta is, and I'm gonna take a calculated guess. Nothing has been mentioned with anything definite, but I'm gonna say Aroldis Vizcaíno is the. He has a 1-year contract. That's the thing. A lot of people think it's Jason Grilli, who's still recovering from an Achilles tear. They still got Jimmy Johnson there. Vizcaíno was tremendous. I don't know if you realize how good Vizcaíno was last year. 1.6 ERA, 1.1 WHIP, 37 strikeouts in 33 innings. I got to tell you, and only one home run in those 33 innings. So, to me, I think it's Vizcaíno's job to lose. This will be one of the more interesting position battles to see who winds up as the closer. And Ziegler is not 100% yet, so I'm giving it to Vizcaíno. Solarte, I don't know, do I have to say his first name? Yangvirtus or something like that, has been said. He's the third baseman in San Diego. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. Third baseman, he's much better. So if he plays third base, it's not a bad pick because he has middle infield eligibility. So that's not so bad. Tyler Saladino is slotted to be the White. Yeah, I saw Saladino, Mark, in the Arizona Fall League. Adequate at best, really nothing spectacular there. Not the kind of guy, more of a utility kind of player. So we'll see about that. I talked yesterday about Gregory Polanco, and everybody's questioning, aren't you a little afraid? Well, look, $25 for Polanco may seem like a lot. And yes, I got a little concern. He does have a long swing. I mean, I take a look at him sometimes and I say, wow, is this guy Dominic Brown? Big 6'5", left-handed hitter. They don't have a lot of left-handed hitters on this Pirate team, if you noticed. Only Polanco, and then, of course, if Jaso plays, he'll be the guy. So it's interesting to see. And of course, everybody's excited about Yuli Gurriel and his brother Lourdes, the Gurriel brothers. Yuri is the one who's 31 years old. He's been compared to like a Robbie Alomar type. So Yuri compared to a Robbie Alomar type. His brother Lourdes, 22 years old, will start the year in the minor leagues. But don't think that either one of these two guys will be playing this year. Yuli is supposed to be a star. And when you compare it to Alomar at age 31, there'll be a lot of teams, because don't forget, the money you spend on these Cuban kids does not go against the luxury tax. So the Yankees are right in there. So it's going to be interesting to see, because he's supposed to be the best player in Cuba, and word had it that he wasn't supposed to be leaving. They were very surprised that he was leaving Cuba along with his brother, and they had to escape the whole deal. They were in the Dominican Republic. They had to find a place to hide and leave, and I thought the relations with Cuba were getting better. This could destroy the whole diplomat. I wonder what the Republican nominee, it should have been on the debate the other other day. How do you handle the Cuban, not the Cuban Missile Crisis, but the Cubans defecting? These are the two. These are two big players, so it's a big deal. Let's see how far it gets. But don't forget, as far as the Cuban guys, you ever hear of Hector Oliveira? Ever hear of Yasiel Puig? You ever hear of Rusty Castillo? They're Cuban guys. It didn't exactly pan out yet. I mean, Cespedes and Abreu are okay, but give me a break. You know, the Oliveira, Puig, and the Castillo, not exactly household names. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with these two, the 31-year-old Yuli, Robbie Alomar type, and his brother, 22-year-old Loris, who could also be labeled as sort of a middle infield kind of guy, okay? So interested to see how that goes. Okay, so with all that being said, let's take a look at third baseman. And we talked a little bit about third baseman yesterday. I say third base along with first base because don't forget we got that middle infield position. So I want to put it all together. And don't forget that to go to the website, hit the contest, man. I mean, somebody's going to win some money. Hit the contest. And once again, if you haven't seen the Ric Flair video, if you're a wrestling fan, I mean, we all know who Ric is. Isn't that amazing? If you're a wrestling fan or you're not a wrestling fan, you still know who Ric Flair is. Pretty interesting about that. If you don't know who Ric Flair is, send me an email, LennyMelnick@gmail.com. And also, don't forget, if you'd like to chat about your baseball team or anything, about your keepers or anything, we got the keeper section up on the site. But also, send me an email with your name, phone number, designated day and time. And yes, I will call you back at that designated day and time. So we'll see about that. Okay. Now, as I take a look at the third baseman, once again, we talked about this yesterday. This, to me, is the scarcity of position. Now, people will say, what are you talking about? This is not the scarcity. There's a lot of good players here. No question. But this is where they're going to go so quickly that you're going to have to make a decision as to what third baseman you want. Do you want to spend a lot of money? Do you want to spend a ton of money? Or is this the place? Like I said yesterday, I'm only spending the big bucks. I'll spend $25 on Gregory Polanco because he'll hit me double-digit home runs. He'll steal me a ton of bases. He'll score a lot of runs. Yeah, I'll take that. But I don't know. To go with an Arenado or to go with a Donaldson, I know it looks good, and I'm not saying it's not worth it, but in terms of covering the categories the proper way, that's not where I'm going. That's not where I'm making my first-round pick or my second-round pick, or that's not where I'm putting my 30 bucks either. Okay, so I'm not doing that. So third base is tough. Of course, we don't have to go over the good ones because we all know who they are. Josh Donaldson will hit you over 100 and get you over 110 RBIs. He signed that contract yesterday, 35 home runs. Same thing with Arenado. They're both very similar players. And Chris Bryant, of course, my candidate to fall to the sophomore slump with the long swing, and then you got Todd Frazier. I think Frazier's going to have a better year than he did last year. I think the White Sox are going to be pretty good, even if they don't sign Fowler or Desmond. But I think Frazier, he had some nice numbers, and boy, he was terrible the second half of the year. And I want you know, talk about the home run derby. Took a lot out of him. I don't know what that means. Kyle Seager is there, Longoria. But after these guys, what do you do? These guys are going to go off the board right away. They're going to go like crazy. So here are the guys, some of the other guys. Don't forget, Anthony Rudin is eligible at third. So is Daniel Murphy. But your best bet is to put these guys at second base. Also, all right, so Mike Moustakas is someone who can hit you 15 to 20 home runs, 75 RBIs. He's improving. I years ago when Moustakas came up, I laughed at him. I didn't think that Mike Moustakas was going to be anything. I give Mike Moustakas a lot of credit. Unbelievable, okay? I give Mike Moustakas, he's developing into, he could have that 20 home run year this year. So Moustakas is absolutely a candidate, and he's a very viable pick. There's no question about it. The only guy I would spend the money on, again, is Machado. I know he had the two serious leg injuries, but if he bats 290 and it's 30 home runs and steals you 15 plus bases, he's well worth it. I don't think Arenado, at that value you're going to pay for him, or at the pick you're going to have to make first round, second round. I don't think that's there. Same thing with Donaldson. But I do like Machado. Now we're talking about as people are throwing nice names in the chat room, and you're all right about some of those. Miguel Franco. Now, Franco, by the way, is not a real home run hitter. If you take a look at his numbers, and I think he'll hit about 270, I don't think he's going to hit more than 20 home runs. 20, 21, nothing great. He hit only 4 home runs and 151 at-bats, even though he batted 355. He's much more of a pure hitter than he is a power hitter. So Franco, to me, 4 home runs and 151 at-bats, and then he came to the majors and he hit 14 home runs. So his power started developing to the majors, and when you see that happen, a player who does not hit a lot of home runs in the minors and then comes up to the majors and starts to hit him, you got to wonder, you know, if this is the long-term effect. So Franco, although he could be, he'll get a full season, a full complement of at-bats. He'll hit you 270, 20, 21, 22 home runs. Absolutely a very good pick, but the problem is he's a sexy pick. He's a sexy pick. Now, in the auction format, you're going to pay over $20 for him. In the snake draft, you're going to probably draft him a round or two higher than he should be drafted. So I'm not big on taking Franco, not because of the fact that he's not going to produce, but because of the fact that I just don't think he's worth the kind of expense you're going to have to go through to get him. Now, as Mad Dog Baseball says, Franco is a big sleeper, very scarce. The scarcity, as I said yesterday, if you look at the positions now, and people talk, oh, I think the scarcity is second base and shortstop. Well, all right, that's great. But the scarcity is at third base, because when you start your draft, those third basemen, by round five, they're going to be all gone. And you're going to have to start really hunting around. So please remember that. I know I said it before, but I can only, you know, emphasize how important that is. There's no scarcity at the beginning of the draft, but there's a scarcity after round 3, 4, and 5. Then the scarcity starts. Now, Matt Duffy, and here comes a little disagreement between myself and David Leisure. I don't think Matt Duffy is worth spending a lot of money on, although he's become a very popular player. And you take a look at this Giants lineup. They've got two baseball players that are much better as baseball players that may help San Francisco win the National League West title, but will not help you win your fantasy league. And we'll do a podcast about that, about players who are excellent baseball, better baseball players, major league players than they are actually fantasy players. And Duffy's one of them. You take a look at his minor league record. He's never hit more than 5 home runs. If he bats 280 and let's say he hits 8 to 10 home runs, I think that's okay. Let's say he does that. Let's say he doesn't do anything great. He's not going to really impact the home runs. He's not going to impact the stolen bases. He's a nice player as a fill-in, but please don't go crazy and think that this guy, because he's been such a surprise and such a good baseball player, good clutch hitter, along with Joe Panic, but fantasy-wise, these guys are very overrated. And isn't that something we can't be surprised when we see a San Francisco Giant that way? One of the players that was mentioned in the chat room, and I'll skip right over to Mark Hammond's suggestion, take a look at Danny Valencia of Oakland. There's a lot to talk about. Now, Valencia came up, and right away he was labeled a platoon player because he couldn't hit lefties. Well, here's the deal. He had 18 home runs last year. 13 of them were against right-handed pitching. He wound up, although he did hit 11 of his home runs in the 47 games that he was with Oakland. That tells you something as well. But he really, you know, he had a higher OPS against right-handed pitchers than he did against left-handed pitchers. So even though if you're playing the daily game, you definitely were surprised at the fact every time a lefty pitched against Minnesota, Danny Valencia was automatically the first one in. I mean, there were days that you had a choice between Josh Donaldson, who hit lefties great, lefty going against Toronto, and a lefty going against Valencia, and you would take Valencia because of the price difference, all right? So Valencia, who signed a one-year contract, about $3.5 million, I think at age 31, 275 batting average for me, 15 to 18 home runs for me, and there you go. Nice pick, a pick that may not hurt you. Looks like he's got a little left. So the only thing I don't like it is that he's surrounded by Oakland A's. All right, so Mark, taking a look at Danny Valencia. I don't know what you expect from him, but if he bats 275 with 15 home runs, that's what I'm saying. Once again, the key thing about Valencia is that 13 of his 18 home runs were against righties, and he had a higher OPS against right-handed pitching than he did against left-handed pitching. So if that doesn't surprise you, it surprised the heck out of me, because he's got this reputation of being a platoon player. Now, Nick Castellanos out there in Detroit, he's only 23. Here's another guy. You know, these guys, Castellanos, Buxton, everybody's so, so turned off by the fact that he hasn't become a star already or even a very good player. He's only 23. So, everybody's down on him. He hit 286 in August, and that to me was very encouraging. He's going to bat down in the order, although it's a great batting order. I just don't think that we should be so down on the guy. I think that a 265 batting average, 17 to 20 home runs could be the answer here. And Castellanos has a big upside. So here's a guy that I would go after. Probably he'd be my first pick of these secondary third basemen. Castellanos is going to be in a great lineup. Castellanos is going to hit 265, 17 to 20. But the 286 batting average in August, I know it was August, but still a little encouraging, and he's only 23. Now, what did we forget about David Wright? David Wright, age 33. We're all sure that David Wright is going to is not going to play a lot of 100 games. That's it. All right. His contact rate went down to 76%. He really took the walk. And I would still go out on that proverbial limb, and if I'm playing, and I'd have to take David Wright, okay? I'm not going to discount David Wright. We'll have to see. I don't like to speculate about injuries or even injury-prone players. Yosmani Tomas will be eligible at third. That six-year, $68 million contract, I think he needed 1 year to figure out the breaking ball, and I think he has. So I'm looking for Yosmani Tomas. Don't forget, without Inciardi there, Tomas will not have to take a seat on the bench as he did Perriard. You remember last year, even Pollock took a seat on the bench because Inciardi was hitting, and Pollock was hitting, and Tomas was hitting, and Peralta was hitting. Well, that's how good Arizona was last year. But Tomas, who's shown a weakness for the breaking ball, should be coming back this year and having a nice year. Okay, so I'll take Yosmani Tomas as my third baseman. And if you remember, on my Tal Wars team, he's the guy I had. Now, would I substitute Franco for him? Absolutely, but I think Franco goes for more money than Yosmani Tomas, okay? Who's the other National League third baseman? Well, you got Hector Olivares, who has become more of a gap hit. Now, look, you know, when he came up, we had Cespedes up, we had Abreu up. Olivares is half the home run hitter that those guys are. And that's if you're lucky, okay? So he's not gonna do it. But when he came up last year, he hit 405 slugging percentage, six extra base hits, two home runs, and that was in 24 games for Tomas. So I think he can improve. You know, the Dodgers spent $90 million between the bonus and the whole deal, $90 million to get Olivares. Yeah, and they owe Guerrero $10 million, so they did a very good job. Didn't do very good so far. So he's more of a gap hitter. And I think the most underrated team in fantasy baseball and in Major League Baseball may very well be the Atlanta Braves. I think we're still looking at this Atlanta offense as crap. I don't think it's crap. And I think Freddie Freeman, like I talked about yesterday, will be okay. Chase Headley is another guy, age 31. I think we're all down on Headley. And I think one of the reasons we're down on Headley is the expectations. We expected once he came from San Diego to New York, we thought Headley would be a star. He's not a star. He's adequate. 250, 12 to 15 home runs. At age 31, you know, he's getting the rap now, being one of the old guys. He's not an old guy. He's doing okay. So Headley wouldn't be so bad. Once again, I'm figuring that after Machado, I'm going to pass on the expensive third baseman. I'll go with Franco if I can get him at the right value. Tomas, I'll take Castellanos. I'll even take I'm still a little shy of Valencia. I'll take Oliveras. And, of course, my sleeper at third base. And it's deep, and this guy could hit me right between the eyes with a mulligan. I don't even know if I said that right, but he could hit me. And that's Lonnie Chisenhall, who's 27 years old. Now, look, when he came up, he was supposed to be something. And I admire those guys who, when they come up, they get all this hype, and they don't pan out, but they're still hanging around. And Chisenhall's 27, and Cleveland thinks that he could be a valuable part of the team. So he was sent down in June last year when he was hitting 209, and then I saw him in person. I went to Cleveland. Andy and I went to Cleveland. We saw this guy out there. I didn't even know who he was, and I said to her, "Who's that guy in right field?" She looked it up, and sure enough, it was Chisenhall. I said, "Whoa! Well, this guy was, I mean, just impressive on the field. Looked good. Looked like an athlete, man. The guy looked good." And sure enough, second half of the season, he put it together. Now, when you look at his second half numbers, you got to be careful. Yeah, .359 batting average with balls in play. That may be a little too much. Chisenhall is number one on the depth chart in right field. That's right, Mark. He'll play right field. When I spoke to people about Chisenhall, I was told that he is more comfortable playing right field than he was playing third base. So could that be the answer? You know, the comfort zone of your position is pretty important. And when Chisenhall looked in, he looked so athletic in right field, there was no question that he could handle the position. So that's the way it goes. By the way, with the wonderful expertise of Mad Dog Baseball, we are putting together either a 12 or a 15-team mixed league. Mitchell Harston and I, Mitchell is the guy who put together the NFL, our football draft. And I think, Mitchell, we're probably better off. I don't know. Let's take a vote. Would you rather have a 12-team league? This is online now. This is not going to be the other one that we're still working on. But would you rather have a 12-team mixed league, or would you rather have a 15-team mixed league? All right? Vote for it. Go to Lenny Melnick at gmail.com and send me your opinion. 12-team mixed league, 15-team mixed league. The people who support me by answering these questions are the people that are going to be in the league. It's as simple as that, okay? So this is not the last time I'll make this announcement. Would you rather have an only league, NL only or AL only? I'll throw that out to you as well. Now is the time, because by next weekend we're going to have everything all set, and we'll get it going. Now, in a 15-team league, first and third, if you hang out until the very end, you can probably get at first base Ryan Howard, Mike Morris, Darren Ruff, C.J. Cron could be available. And if you hang out until the very end, and it's 45 first thirds, you could probably get Headley, Chisenhall, probably Hector Oliveira too, and definitely Danny Valencia. So it's pretty interesting. Jet 9 says, of course, Jet 9, because, you know, Gasparis wins all these leagues anyway. He wants to rake it in. No question about it. So don't forget, Lenny Melnick at gmail.com. That's where you send your entries. The people that respond are the people that are going to play. I can't do it by myself. I need your help. So help me out here, and you'll definitely get the rewards of being in the league. All right, no charge. and there'll be a prize money if you win. And, hey, Gasparis, tell him. You got paid, right, for football? Okay. Anyway, so that's the story. LennyMelnick@gmail.com. So there's plenty of depth at first third, but you got to, you know, you really want a couple more because you need for the DH. I can only count 45 players. Until tomorrow, thanks for joining me, everybody.